Hello, friends. Welcome once again to the Perfect Bound podcast. This is a podcast all about anything and everything comic books and comics related, brought to you by the Panel Jumper and Comics Dungeon. This is episode 45, coming at you on Monday, December 21st, 2015. My name is Ben. With me, as always, is Cole Hornaday.
Hey.
Nicole Lamb.
Hey.
And Chris Casso.
Hello.
How is everybody this fine evening?
Well, I was hoping you were going to keep going with the funny car monster truck.
I know, right? And
Sunday.
You'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. How do you transfer that to, you'll pay for the whole podcast, but you'll only listen to the first couple minutes? All right. Speaking of excitement, we've talked about this before, but we have this closed Facebook group that it's mostly Chris just throws around links and Cole and Chris argue in the comments section.
We don't. We have healthy, supported yes. discussions.
But a couple,
and we do some name calling.
You do some name calling.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, an extended trailer for BVS : DOJ came out.
The People versus Batman.
Yeah. So, Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice came out. It's like the first like full length, not a teaser, but still gives. And Cole's making a gagging face. So I saw this, and it was late at night. I'll admit, I probably had a couple of Woodfords, and so I'm watching this trailer, going. Well, okay, so it doesn't look like it's still going to be a good movie, but I kind of want to watch it now just for the spectacle. So I put this on the Facebook group, and I'm like, you know, I kind of want to see this, is what I commented, and Chris, you replied something to the effect of, if you can remember.
Did you say something like, you are dead to me now?
No, I think it was more of like, I am dead now, because Cole might be gagging in the back there, but my eyeballs have melted in the back of my skull after watching that one.
There we go.
It's just, I'm not in any way really looking forward to it.
I think I was out of words at the time, but what I really wanted to say was, this is, you know, 45 seconds of everything that is wrong about DC Comics right now.
Pretty much.
This how far they are from, you know, what was good about their storytelling.
I do want to see how they handle Wonder Woman, because I know that Wonder Woman is a commodity that Hollywood just can't seem to get right lately. There have been a number of false starts in terms of TV shows. Mm-hmm. I think there may have even been like a movie in development that never got.
Yeah, there was a Joss Whedon movie in development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of the controversy was about her outfit.
Yep,
that's always a problem. They can never figure it out.
I think she looks good. I just wish she wasn't a twig. That's my biggest problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think in the movie, she's probably going to like bail everybody out and be like, now boys, get along or something that. That's what it seemed like. So,
All right. So anyway, that's I just wanted to clarify that.
Just higher ground.
I just wanted to clarify that to make sure that my compatriots here didn't actually think I thought it was going to be a good movie.
No. And you know what? If people end up being happy about it, that's great. I need to fully realize that movies can't be what I want them to be. But I don't know, like watching the trailer and seeing Doomsday show up at the end, it's just like, great, you ruined two villains. Because did you catch that he's like Bizarro Zod, corpse of Zod?
Yeah, so he's a clone splice of oh dear. Yeah.
And then Luther, like,
no.
Blah.
Speaking of movies that aren't the way you wish they were, I'm just going to give an unsolicited plug to a YouTube series out there called What If It Were Good or something like that. This guy breaks down the Star Wars prequels, and he just came out with his episode 3 earlier this week. And he imagines himself a story exec at Lucasfilm or Disney or wherever. And George Lucas brings him these scripts, and he's like, all right, well, let's sit down and let's go through this and see how we can make this work. It's a really brilliant series. I recommend everybody go watch it. It's What If Star Wars Episode 1 Was a Good Movie. Just look for that on YouTube. And he's got the whole series out. And I watched it on Wednesday. It was really great.
Cool. Well, what's his thinking? What is his process that
he
makes it
He actually
unique?
Reimagines the movies. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but he reimagines the movies as if it's told from Obi-Wan's point of view and not Anakin. So So it's basically Obi-Wan's story, and he adjusts the motivation so that the there is justification for all the things that happen, and he lets Darth Maul live until the third movie.
Oh, yeah.
Darth Maul comes back with robot legs. He does still get sliced in half, but he comes back with robot legs.
Well, that's something they've done. They did do in the animated series in the Clone Wars. You can get a Darth Maul with turkey leg action figure.
Philosopher.
I actually have one of those. Yeah. No, actually, they're turkey legs. they're turkey legs.
All right. So,
I'm just like, the dark side is strong. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
The president pardons Darth Maul. Because that would have
been, it would have been better dialogue than what he actually had in the flick. That's
defeat him
sure.
with a baster.
So, DC is apparently sneaking original art into Harley's little black book poly bags. Ava, what is a poly bag?
My nightmare.
It's a sealed bag.
Yeah. You remember the old seal-a-meals from back in the day?
No, sir. I'm not as old as you are.
Jeez. Sorry, Chris. Go ahead. No.
So polybagging is a thing that became super popular in the 90s.
And sounds kind of lewd.
Yeah. New fetish just popped up. And basically...
adult magazines, when they're sold in places where there might be family-oriented things, they are polybagged.
Yeah.
All right.
But they're black polybags. So this is there's clear polybags that are just annoying for no reason.
You're right.
And then the Harleys are black.
And
you can't see inside.
They're trying to mimic the mystery box toys where you don't know what you're getting. And the problem with that has surfaced with this current release of the Harley books is that due to something in the process of the machines packing the comics, virtually 90% are damaged.
Oh, no.
So, and it's supposed to be to entice a collector market for variants. Mm-hmm. So, you know, most of the people who want these don't want them because they're damaged now.
Right.
Yep.
But at the same time, there was like one-of-a-kind artwork in
supposed
them as well?
To be, yeah. They were never offered, and retailers were never clearly told about that.
Oh,
and then rumors started showing up online that there are, like an actual one of a kind.
I'm ooing because Nicole has brought a sample out, and it's been munched on the
minor
corner.
Damage, but yeah.
So I'm looking at the poly bag, and it looks like just a bag that like Wired magazine comes in. But I think those are only wrapped to keep the subscription cards from falling out.
Yeah,
in
that's a lot of times what. A good reason to have a poly bag, you know. They did that in the 90s, too, when they gave you cards. These are kind of like trash bags.
yeah.
Inconsistency, yeah.
They're very similar to trash bags.
So they're putting original artwork into these Harley poly bags. Is this worth anything? Are people, like, buying multiple poly bags of Harley in the chance of getting one of these?
Some are, yeah. Artworks? It's up to the retailer, too. Like, I actually was so fed up with this as a concept that nobody special ordered extra, and I go off of special orders. So I only ordered like 10 or a dozen of each. There's over like 15 or 20 of these to choose from, titles. And so, I mean, we're kind of selling through, but that's mostly because every time somebody opens one, it's damaged. And so then they get the next one and that's damaged. So I'm returning like, you know, 90% of these.
So the comic itself is damaged.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we were saying earlier, the way that the printing press or something is dealing with them, there's a damage is close to the staples.
That is not a perfect bound.
It is.
But there's actually been worse ones reported, like giant creases in the entire comic.
Sure. Really?
Some one store returned like every single thing they ever got, and they ordered like way more than I did, and they made it a big stink online. They're like, seriously, guys, like, fix your game. So
that's too bad.
Something else DC can't quite get right.
They actually did restart the DC did something stupid counter on the Outhouse website.
Excellent.
So yeah.
Yes, if you don't know what that is, it's exactly what you think it is.
Yes.
It's a counter.
Yep.
And every time they do something stupid, it goes to zero.
Has that ever gotten above double digits?
Yes. Okay. I think it got into like high 60 or 70 days or something.
Oh, did it? Okay.
Really?
Yeah, they made some good chunks.
Because
actually,
they on vacation?
The guys who do it, they can be actually very lenient because they're like, you know, this is actually not a good thing, but it's nowhere near as stupid as we want it to be.
Right.
So we'll let that fly, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. So, moving on. After more than 50 years, there will be no monthly Fantastic Four comic.
Mm-hmm.
How big is this? Is this a thing?
I mean, there are definitely a lot of fans that, you know, are like, well, what's happening?
No, aren't all the Fantastic Fours in other titles, though? There's just not going to be a Fantastic Four.
Actually,
title?
Two people are still missing, or two people and their children are missing. Ben Grimm is over in the Guardians of the Galaxy. He's in space with Rocket Raccoon flying their ships. And the Human Torch is hanging out with the Uncanny Humans having an affair with Medusa. And that's it. And
so
Reed,
Johnny's missing.
No,
Johnny's Reed's missing. Reed's Sue's missing, and the kids are missing.
Yeah, and the thing is, Secret Wars still hasn't ended.
Right.
So, like, they're still going to do that.
And Sue and, is it Valeria?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Franklin are significant characters in that.
Key
so.
Characters, yeah.
Where are we at with Secret Wars now? It's been extended to 9 issues.
And the number 9 will be out within a week or two.
So 8 was the most recent that was on the stand?
Yeah, okay. Most recent.
Right. So probably when this airs? Maybe.
There was a good article that Chris passed around about talking about why it's no big deal that the Fantastic Four are not going to be on the newsstand after 50 years. And I read it, and I could not.
The Tea Room of Despair is
okay.
a blog that this guy has.
It was a good article because I actually brought the subject up a couple months ago because I was disturbed and perturbed, and you don't want me to be existing with those two conditions happening at once.
No, we've seen it.
and I, you know, because I broached the subject as being conspiratorial, you know, because... So Sony Fox has the rights to the Fantastic Four films,
right.
and they've been so awful, and there's a lot of like rumor mill discussion of the Marvel as a publisher phasing out those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the article that gentleman had written in the blog about how, you know, sometimes characters, even the most beloved characters, lose their spark, lose their forward momentum, and he made some really valid points about every time there was an attempted, you know, Hickman's reboot and Mark Waid's reboot,
Straczynski's and all that.
Yeah, and they were all good, but they didn't have any forward momentum. And I'm like, you know what? That's a really good point, and maybe they just need to go on hiatus for a while.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, he brought up that Thor, Marvel, to their credit, let Thor stay dead for 2 years or so, and when they brought him back, people cared.
Yeah.
And now they don't care again. But
and
now that
what?
Thor's not Thor,
you know
they
what?
Care.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind if they did that with the X-Men as well. At
oh
this point,
yes.
You know, because initially I was perturbed by this realization that these characters that were, you know, a part of my comic book vision of reality were being phased out. I'm like, you know what? Actually, from a creator standpoint, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, a vacation always helps out.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never had one.
Aww.
Absence does make the heart grow fonder.
I thought it was abstinence.
Do you?
Was it absence?
Absence makes the heart grow fondue.
Yeah.
Actually, do you think that if that latest Fantastic Four movie had been decent at all, would they still have canceled?
There would be 5 titles on the stand,
yeah,
dude.
I think they would. The way they roll.
Oh, yeah, okay. They'd be finding ways to keep that comic book.
With variants and polybags.
If they were DC, they'd be just standing around with their thumbs in the air going, what? What? Supergirl? What? Supergirl?
We own a character?
What? What do you mean she's popular and we're not printing any comic books about her?
But she's not Batman. I don't understand.
William Shatner, get out of the office. Who
it's
let you in?
It's a power vacuum.
All right. And moving on. So I've been a big Stephen King fan, have been my entire life. I actually spent one summer when I was in junior high trying to read as many Stephen King books as I possibly can. I think I read The Stand that entire summer.
Yeah.
But The Dark Tower has been one of my favorite series of his, and because I've only read like the first 4.
Really? I thought you made it all the way to the end.
I did not make it all the way to the end.
I read them all.
Yeah, and apparently it gets kind of weird and meta in the very last book, but spoilers for me because I didn't even know that. Anyway, Ron Howard, I think, has purchased the movie rights, and rumors are abound about who's going to play who. And Idris Elba is rumored to play Roland, the gunslinger in The Dark Tower. And a bit of a departure from the character as written. Stephen King himself tweets, "To me, the color of the gunslinger doesn't matter. What I care about is how fast he can draw and that he takes care of the quartet."
What's the Kotet, Ben?
You know what? I have no idea.
Well, the Kotet is his family, his clan.
Okay.
And it's, if I remember, and now actually I could have this wrong, but I believe that's it's your the clan that you are honor bound to protect and look after. There was a glossary in every darn book.
Yeah. it's been years since I've read them, and I have such a poor memory for books that I read.
See, I thought you read them all. I made it. I was a King fan.
You don't know who I am anymore.
I really don't. Who are you?
It's funny because Idris Elba seems to be the front runner for every major character change.
As he should.
Well, but also to take over previously established white male roles, like because there's that talk about.
Well, yeah, he and James
Bond.
James Bond. A lot of people wanted him to be the next Doctor Who.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
There was a brilliant New Yorker cartoon where he's dressed up in a red suit and hat, and Mrs. Claus goes, "You've been Santa Claus for hundreds of years. Give Idris Elba a chance."
Nice.
But the only thing I don't like about this, there's also a rumor that Matthew McConaughey is going to play the Man in Black, and I cannot picture Matthew. True Detective was really great. I actually gained a bit more respect for him as an actor, but I can't imagine the Man in Black going, "All right, all right, all right."
I don't know. Now I kind of want to see that. Who would you want to be the Man in Black?
I don't know. He strikes me as a Danny Trejo, maybe.
That really that rough? Because he's a character that Randall Flagg.
Yeah, Randall Flagg.
Because he shows up in many of the books. I always saw him as being a bit suave, even though I did not agree with the casting.
David Tennant.
Well, do you remember the live action Stan TV series? The guy who played Randall Flagg, I actually really liked.
He was good, but he's not how I saw Flagg. But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But in the Dark Tower books, he's more suave.
It's just another illustration of how casting directors have it tough when trying to cast for known quantities.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I got that out of the way. All right. All right. All right. Anyway. Today is December 21st. Christmas is just around the corner. We are sitting in a comic book store, and I wanted to ask the purveyors of this comic store here, Chris and Nicole, if they stick with a guide for giving comics or comic-themed merch as Christmas gifts. It's kind of an open-ended question, I know. It's just like, I felt it was, thematically appropriate for what's coming up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you want thematically appropriate, actually, specifically right now, there's the new Claus comic from Boom Studios, which is The Secret Origin of Santa Claus from Grant Morrison. And basically, it's before he becomes Santa Claus, he's one man against a totalitarian state that bans happiness. And then he...
Santa Claus the Barbarian, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Santa Claus the Barbarian with a wolf. One man and his wolf fight a totalitarian state. It's pretty entertaining. There's only two issues out, though, so it's not like a complete trade paperback. But you could always give Batman the Long Halloween. That's actually a very, very good... specific holiday-centric Batman story where every holiday there's a serial killer that murders the head of a mob family and leaves a memento like a snow globe on Christmas. And it's a big whodunit because they don't show you who it is. You have to figure it out with Batman.
Oh.
So that's a good one. But besides that, I don't have... Oh, right now we cannot stop selling Dancing Groot toys and Rocket Raccoon pops. And they even have a Christmas version of Dancing Groot where his pot is red and green. So, stuff like that.
Yep.
Cool. Mm-hmm. All right. So, go to your local comic book store, especially if it's Comic Extension here at 319 Northeast 45th Street, and buy comic-themed and comic merch for your loved ones for Christmas.
Well, I have just one quick tip.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not into comics, I would say scope their shelves for maybe what they have or pay attention to what kind of characters they like. Because a lot of people come in and they go, "They like comics." And then you're like, "Okay, like what kind of comics?" And they're like, comics.
Yes.
And you're like, "I really want to help you, but I need a little bit more than that.
Come back after you've done your research.
Red comics. Like, I don't know, something." So.
We also do gift certificates.
Yes, that's true as well.
That's always
good idea.
Yep, which is very easy. Yeah.
Yes, that's basically all that's on my shopping list for Christmas gifts this year: gift certificates and booze.
And also, if you have a loved one who shops with us and has a subscription, our computer system actually knows everything you've ever bought. It's the best Big Brother system you could ever have. And so I can actually go in there and figure out and deduce what they might maybe kind of sort of like.
Which you kind of sort of did
earlier today.
Yes.
So, yes.
Awesome.
You're sneaky.
Yes.
So that, cool. So moving on, I want to premiere a new segment this week because it is a fresh week. And I want to ask Chris and Nicole, what is selling this week and what should be selling this week, but maybe isn't selling as good?
It's a little tough for me because the trick is we receive our shipments on Tuesday and we can't legally sell it. That's in for us to process, and we process a lot. We have hundreds of subscription customers and we receive more than 2,000 units. So usually, like in the case of last night, I didn't get out of here till about 1 a.m.
Good God, man.
So I don't read much between then and now. And I can kind of take a look and see what has been selling okay, but there were no big releases this week.
No, it wasn't too chunky.
A lot of miniature releases. Also, we're missing like a quarter of our shipment from our distributor, so that didn't help.
Does that not happen every week? It seems like I'm constantly getting an email from you.
Yes, it does.
It's an every week thing.
That's what happens.
It was exceptionally bad this week.
Yeah.
Exceptionally.
I do notice that clause I just mentioned has sold pretty well off of our featured rack. And also, we had a bunch of gaps in our Batman area. There were a bunch of different Batman. So Batman will always sell.
Right.
Star Wars will pretty much always sell.
Yeah, that's
and
been selling well.
We're going to get a little bit of a pickup this week.
Yeah, is there a bump in Star Wars comics because of the release?
Probably. I mean, I've had a few people come in.
Extra
for
trades. So Star Wars sells well, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
What would you like to sell
recommend?
More of?
Squirrel Girl came in this week, and I always want that to be our best seller. It is actually one of our best sellers.
Oh, yeah?
It is, we have more than 50 subscriptions on it. Mm-hmm. And to give you an idea, like more than 40 or 50 is reserved for constant sellers like Batman titles. And so I'd say like Squirrel Girl's probably our fifth or sixth best-selling title underneath Star Wars and Saga. So the fact that she's in that ranking, but I always want it to be higher. What else did come out that you would recommend?
Power Up hasn't really been selling as much. Like, we haven't been selling it in singles. Maybe that's something I could sell in trades. But we actually had a couple kids come in today and grab all the ones off the shelf.
What is Power Up?
Power Up is just a group of random people, like a construction worker, a girl who works in a pet shop, and some other girl and a goldfish, and they get zapped by some mysterious superpower or something, and they become superhumans. And it's pretty awesome. The construction worker has a Sailor Moon outfit. That's his armor. The main girl, Amy, is this really cool. She's a character of diversity because she's also a different body type and she's a person of color and has super awesome hair. And she is her goldfish friend in the pet shop is the one that got zapped and becomes this like really
space
powerful
whale.
Yeah, space whale or something. It's just really fun.
With like a Racer X scar.
Yes.
So he's like this hardcore whale.
Exactly.
Yeah. So are all the characters references to something else?
Not really. The mother isn't.
Because
there's like
she's
mother.
She's like a soccer mom.
She's like a soccer mom with superpowers.
That's the, I said the other one.
Is space whale a reference to something?
Other than the Racer X scar. I can't think of anything.
There were space whales in X-Men, but that was too long ago for anybody to remember. Yeah. There's the Titanic space slug from Empire Strikes Back. You know, it's kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It's kind
whales
of...
Whales in space. There was a space whale in Doctor Who.
Oh, Abraxas and the Earthman.
Oh.
By Rick Veitch.
All right, we'll tune
awesome
in next week.
No, wait, we're talking about space whales.
Space whales. We'll have a space whale episode. Apparently. That's a thing.
I will also, one last book, say Wrath of the Eternal Warrior from Valiant. They currently relaunched. Number 2 came out this week, and it is actually a really fun title because the Eternal Warrior is a Eternal Warrior. He cannot die. But whenever he dies, he comes back, but he spends some time in limbo, and he has to come back to life. So this time he gets to stay in limbo a bit longer, and that's where his family is, but there's like a demonic uprising next to limbo, and things go bad.
Well, tell us about the axe, Eugene.
Yes. We got a special promotional Wrath of the Eternal Axe, Battle Axe, and Valiant had it made special for a select amount of comic book stores. It's not that sharp, but it is very, very heavy and a good blunt force trauma weapon.
It's very imposing looking.
Yes.
I call it the customer be cool stick.
The customer.
And yeah, CBC. So yeah.
All right, cool. Let's move on to book report, y'all. Cole Hornaday, what have you read this week?
Well, I'm actually going to make a concerted effort to start reading many of the new Marvel post Secret Wars books because I felt this odd burst of optimism. Having read Secret Wars and looking at the things that Marvel is doing going forward in the movies and all these things. So the first one is the new Mighty Thor. I actually started picking it up before Secret Wars and was really very, very happy with it. Mm-hmm. I think it is Jason Aaron, correct?
Yes.
It's a really strong writer. I think the artist, Russell Dauterman, is quite good as well. And I was quite proud of myself because before Secret Wars, I figured out who the Lady Thor was. Even though they tried to distract us a little bit, I did this little, you know, geekoid happy dance. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Now that we know, it's not a spoiler if I say it's Jane Foster. We all know this now. Mm-hmm. Great story going on here because Jane Foster, as the human Jane Foster, is going through chemotherapy for breast cancer, and every time she turns into Thor, that despoils all the chemotherapy that she's gone through. I really didn't care about whatever the superhero punch-up, what was going on in this issue was about. It was her sharing the chemo experience with her, the recovery, talking about what one goes through under chemo, losing, you know, in a week I will forget my friends' names. You know, it's just absolutely heartbreaking, and it's damn good storytelling, and I cannot recommend it enough.
Mm-hmm. And Russell Dauterman is the artist behind Sexy Dad.
Sexy Dad! In the Cyclops series that only I care about, apparently.
So we like that. So the new Mighty Thor, I recommend. Do not miss it.
All right, Nicole, what about you?
So actually, speaking of space whales.
Yeah!
There is a book called Space Dumplings.
Space Dumplings.
That was my space whale.
That was written by...
I thought that was the dying moose sound. Okay.
Hey, now.
It's the moose whale. It's a thing. Anything happens in space. Okay, so it's by Craig Thompson. You might know him that he wrote Blankets and Habibi and...
Yeah. Goodbye, Chunky Rice.
Thank you. I was going to say Sadness, Chunky Rice for some reason.
Same title.
I haven't read it because I heard it was really sad, so that's probably what's in there. So it's a strong female lead. It's this young girl, and she lives in space. She lives in this little trailer park, and there's these things that are space whales, and they will randomly go through areas. They're kind of Galactus-like. They'll devour and destroy areas, and then they'll poop. And the poop actually is a really good energy source. So her father is kind of like this... deadliest catch kind of guy where he has to go out and excavate all these things. So he's got a very hard job.
So he's a cosmic poop extractor?
He's a cosmic poop extractor, yeah.
Awesome.
It's for real. And and her mother is
a job out there for everybody.
She's kind of a run of the mill fashion designer, and she gets a promotion and goes into this like fancy place. So anyway, her school gets devastated by this one whale thing, and things are kind of thrown out of whack. Her father goes missing, and her being very strong-headed decides that she wants to go and save him. And she takes along with her this little chicken guy who she finds in this in the fancy land where the big fashion designer guy is. And he's a rare button collector. He's a very frail kid. And he doesn't want to be a rooster. He wants to be a chicken. So I like him because he's like more of an effeminate male character.
Mm-hmm.
And he's totally, that's just like his jam. Anyway, they go on this great adventure. It's super colorful. It's really fun. It's heartwarming. There's cool characters. There's this whole world that Craig Thompson built that's just so much fun. It almost gives me a little whimsy from, like, say, Brendan Graham, kind of the way he does some stuff. And the coloring, because I don't think Craig Thompson usually colors his stuff. I think it's Dave Stewart who does the coloring on it, and it's just phenomenal. It's very vibrant and beautiful. So I highly recommend it. It's an all-age book. Plus, anytime my friend said something recently, like, you know, I bet these kids would probably like it because they talk about poop a lot, you know, and it would be funny for them. So it's funny. It's got poop in it. And I definitely recommend it.
Cool. And Craig Thompson has been in the store, right?
He has. We had a signing with him for this specifically.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
So there's a book about poop. Is there a comic out there for kids about boogers? Because I know that's another thing.
That's next.
Oh, probably. I'm sure there is. Yeah. I haven't found it yet, but I'll let you know.
All right. Yeah. Chris, what did you read this week?
So on, I believe, the last episode, Nicole had read Limbo Number 1 from Image. And I finally got around to reading it. So this is kind of a point-counterpoint thing, because I actually really liked it. When we asked you in the episode, like, what's the plot? You're like, meh, whatever, you know? So I think that's just because you didn't like it, you know? And it didn't really pull together for you. But the plot came a little bit quicker for me. And I also liked the guy's art style, and it worked really well and made a really interesting kind of crime story. One of the things that will be kind of obvious why I like it is because there's a crime lord who is wearing a Lucha Libre mask called the Thumb. And I think
that's why you like it.
It's a reason. I also think, like, naming a masked wrestler the Thumb is one of the greatest concepts you could ever have, because everyone is under him. But the main plot for me was interesting, just because it follows this PI who has been a 9-month amnesiac, and he's trying to just learn who he is. And in this small town where the Thumb rules everything, there's all these different levels of magic and sorcery, and there's these two, they call them fishmen as a joke, and they're like these two hick bayou fishermen, and they are part of like the drug running ring. And later on, they show that they're actually kind of like Lovecraftian deep ones or something like that. So, like, there's a lot of promise for me. And it turned into just an interesting presentation. So I actually did really like it. So I'll give that one a thumbs up.
All right. Great, so that's Book Report, and that's our show. But before we go, of course, we play quiz time. Get your quiz hats on, everybody. This week, the questions come to us from me.
What?
What? Yeah.
So the topic for this quiz section is celebrity cameos in comics. I'm going to give you a celebrity, and you have to tell me what title they appeared in. Just the title. You don't have to give me an issue number or anything like that. This is from cheatsheet.com. I will admit, I just Googled celebrities in comics, and I came up with a listicle because the internet. All right, number one, the cast of Glee. What comic do they appear in? Chris.
Archie.
Yes, Archie meets Glee. In a four-part series, the gang from Riverdale meet the cast from William McKinley High School thanks to Dilton Doily's Portal Porter. Veronica befriends Kurt. Josie the Pussycats try to recruit Mercedes. Sue Sylvester squares off against Jughead. And in the end, spoilers, everybody gets home safely. What? I will admit.
No.
I never watched Glee.
No Sharknado came and killed them.
I don't read Archie, so none of those names mean anything to me.
Predator, I don't think there's zombies in that Archie book, and I'm not going to be reading it. So.
All right, number two. Stephen Colbert.
Tech Jansen.
Well, that was the one he wrote, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay.
When did he appear? Oh, Cole Hornaday.
Captain America?
No.
Because he's such a big Captain America fan.
Amazing Spider-Man.
He is. Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man number 573. In the story, Colbert teams up with the superhero to run as a third-party candidate against both John McCain and Barack Obama, though he polled well among other superheroes and won the popular vote. Obama ends up beating him out and winning the presidency thanks to more electoral votes. Number three, Kiss. The band Kiss. Nicole!
Well, Archie meets Kiss, right?
That is acceptable. There's another answer.
Go ahead.
Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck, number 12.
Kiss but is then, everywhere.
Well, but then Steve Gerber wrote the did he write both the Kiss comics?
I thought he did.
Yeah, the Kiss magazines.
We also have the Todd McFarlane Kiss comics as well.
That's right. But
all right, number
Psycho
four.
Psycho Circus. Kiss Psycho Circus. Yes.
Number four, Eminem. Rapper Eminem.
Punisher.
It is the Punisher volume one, number one. All right.
Wow.
And finally, Muhammad Ali. Cole's hand went up first, or fastest, I guess.
Superman versus Muhammad Ali.
Yes, from 1978, Ali challenges the Man of Steel in a regular boxing match. The epic battle causes quite a turnout with both real celebrities and other fictional figures appearing in the audience. Mm-hmm. It's only after Ali knocks out Superman and wins the match that the rest of the world learns that it was all part of an elaborate ploy to save the planet from an alien invasion. When the scheme is over, both men exchange feelings of respect with Ali, proclaiming both of them as the greatest champions of the world. That's quiz time, and that's our show. Thank you for listening. You can find us every week at perfectboundpodcast.com. You can also email us at perfectboundpodcast@gmail.com. You can find everything Nicole Hornaday and I do at thepaneljumper.com. You can also come to the Comics Dungeon at 319 Northeast 45th Street here in beautiful downtown Wallingford, or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at comicsdungeon.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Breathe!